This Thursday is Thanksgiving Day here in the USA. Other countries celebrate a similar day at times. You may have heard in the news that Canada celebrates a Thanksgiving Day in October, but for us here in the USA, it is this Thursday, and many in the non-retail work arena are off Thursday and Friday. We know retail kicks in a lot of ways, but they've been getting a jump start in this particular year of the pandemic and doing different things from a retail standpoint. Some even actually going back to closing on Thursday. How about that? And figuring out a different way to reach out for those Christmas shoppers. And so certainly Thanksgiving Day is different this year in the midst of COVID. Extended family gatherings, a lot of them have been canceled in concern for that larger group and folks coming from all over the place. I know that's true for both sides in our family. The Bertram Extended got canceled. It's decided that possibly over 40 people from 10 different cities might not be the best thing to do this particular year. Perhaps some of your families have done the same thing. And what I've seen is people aren't necessarily giving up on gathering. They're doing smaller, intimate type gatherings where you have an idea where someone maybe has been. And so we've got a couple of those we're doing this weekend where it's just a very small group gathering. So it certainly has been different this year because of the pandemic. But I pray that each of us have had the attitude of one who thanked Jesus in our scripture today. And we're going to read about him. And I'd like for you to stand, if you're able, as we honor the reading of God's word. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" And then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." The word of God. For the people of God. We don't hear as much about leprosy today as we did through scriptural time in the Old Testament and even here in the Gospels and in our reading today. We certainly hear about it, but in that time, if you were found to have leprosy, you had to go live way outside of town and hopefully find others maybe perhaps to commiserate with, if, for lack of a better word. But you couldn't be around your family, you know, for fear of that spreading, and we probably many of us have heard about leper colonies that in cities that were set up to where those folks could go and live out their days. And we find in our scripture today Jesus walking past, and there's some out in the outskirts of town where they've been living and recognized who he was. He called out to him, "Master," and asked him to have pity on them. And so he did, and he reached out to them. But leprosy, it was spread by people through extensive contact. It's not quite as contagious as the COVID-19 we're dealing with this year, but if you were around a leper long enough, you would probably have it. But that caused, in those days, a loss of all connection to family and to community. Just a quick update, in case you didn't know. I didn't know. I did a little research. Today, multi-drug therapy cures it. It's available for free from the World Health Organization. If you happen to have leprosy, they will work with you. And the numbers have dropped dramatically since they were able to start that back in the 1980s. It was 5.2 million around the world with leprosy. And in 2018, it dropped to around 200,000. And in last year, just maybe 200 cases in all of the United States. So certainly since the time of the Gospels, it has changed, and we're glad for that. And we pray that in our time and era of this pandemic and the COVID-19, we pray that the companies that are working on a vaccine it will be something that can be helpful for us, and we can look to the future, and we pray that God can guide those scientists and inform them and share with them knowledge that he already has that he can share with them as they research. But they didn't have anything like that back in Jesus' day. But they had this one that the lepers had heard about, obviously, to reach out to him and call him master and know that there might be something he could do for them. And he simply said, go to your priest. And on their way, the Bible says they were healed. We know from, we assume from Scripture that they indeed took off towards the priest. Not, you know, they heard what Jesus had to say. Not a lot of questions that we're aware of, and they just did what he asked. Go and show yourself to the priest. And so they went, and along the way, they were healed. One of them happened to notice that. And then isn't it great that at least one out of ten came back? There was one that recognized his healing and returned to fall at the feet of Jesus and praise God. And not only just praise God, he loudly praised God. He was excited about what he saw happen in his body. All that damage to the nervous system and the respiratory issues that leprosy brings on, all that was gone. And as he recognized that, he's like, I'm turning around and going back. I know what happened, and I'm going to praise God. And I'm going to do it in a loud way. So it is great that we see that out of him. One of the commentaries I was reading ran across this statement. That's an interesting one. And maybe it's just for me, but I'm sharing it with all the rest of you too. It just sort of hit me. I never thought of it in quite this way. But the writer of this commentary said, gratitude might be the purest measure of one's character and spiritual condition. Wow. My gratitude could be a reflection of my actual character and my spiritual condition. You know, life is a gift. Health is a gift. Friendships are a gift. Love of family and special friends are a gift. Healing, whether it's physical, like we see in our scripture, and I believe even in our scripture we see spiritual healing. Whether it's physical or healing, healing is a gift. And this one leper recognized that. Even though he was a Samaritan, as Jesus had called in our scripture, called him a foreigner. And as he came back to loudly praise God and to give him thanks, Jesus asked three questions for us there in our scripture. Where are the other nine? Were not ten cleansed? Was no one found to give praise to God except this one? That same commentary in that same section, he says the absence of the ability to be grateful reveals self-centeredness, or the attitude that I deserve more than I ever get, so I do not need to be grateful. Now, we have no idea from Scripture what happened to the other nine. We assume that they were all healed because Jesus said, go to the priest. And actually, Scripture does say they were all healed, and the one recognized it and came back. But we don't know what happened to the other nine. So all of it is speculation, but there's a pastor by the name of Chuck Sly. He offers some ideas about why the other nine might not have returned. I listed his ideas out and added some of my own thoughts for us to think about this morning. One, perhaps it's not convenient. Sometimes that can happen to us. It's not a convenient time to be grateful. And yet, if you think about it, as we gather and we're here this morning, but if we take time to worship itself, the act of worship, whether it's here corporately like we're doing today or if it's in our private time, it's a time to give thanks. And sometimes folks feel like, well, it's just not convenient to do my private time. It's just not convenient to... I have to work every other day. I want to sleep in on Sundays. Perhaps one of those nine thought it was not convenient to come back and give thanks. Perhaps one of them was too proud. You know, the Bible, as we read throughout the Old and New Testament, we see that the Bible shares a high priority about humility, about understanding where we are in respect to God especially. You know, we need God and others. As much as we want to think it, and especially here in the United States, we have this self-sufficiency idea. As much as we want to think we're self-sufficient, we are not. We need God, and we need others. But perhaps one of the nine was too proud to give thanks. One of them might have been a little self-conscious, not sure what to say. I've had that in a lot of different things. Folks who, when they say, well, I didn't know what to say, so I didn't go to perhaps a visitation for someone who lost a loved one. And, well, I just don't know what to say. Well, sometimes you just need to show up and be there. And sometimes we're not sure. The other thing I've been asked over the years is, oh, I'm not so sure how I'm supposed to pray to God. Let me put it a different way. It's just talking to God. Do you talk to people? Yes. Well, then talk to God. God's not in this whole, you got to have all this thing. Jesus certainly teaches us a pattern. Our Father, which art in heaven, and that's a pattern we need to sort of think. And there's other patterns. Some, I think Phyllis has shared before, and I forget them, Phyllis, so sorry, I flunked. But, you know, there's things to remember if you count on your hand. Others may remember there's an ACTS acronym for adoration and confession and thanksgiving and supplication. And supplication is one of those church words, just asking on behalf of others. But sometimes folks, you're not sure what to say, especially to God, because they're not sure how to talk to him, and you just talk to him. I remember one of my first family gatherings. It was a Christmas family gathering after Sherry and I had gotten married on her side of the family. And this whole group, and more than half of them, this is my first time meeting them. Whenever they hear you're a preacher, sometimes you get to the top of the list for bringing the blessing at a meal. And I was asked to give the blessing for the meal and our gathering together. And so I had the blessing and the prayer, and one of her cousins standing right in front of me, she turned around and said, that sounded like you just talked to God. I said, that's what prayer is. It's just talking to God. Don't need a mobile device. Don't need a landline. Don't need to drive somewhere. Prayer is a wonderful medium, but it's simply talking to God. Perhaps one of the nine thought, well, he knows it anyway. That God knows everything, so he knows I'm grateful. He knows I'm thankful. It reminded me of a story, and you may have heard this story before as well, but this wife was talking with her husband. She said, you never say you love me. Do you love me? He really wasn't answering. She said, I want to know, do you love me? I need to know. And finally, she battered him just enough that he responded. He said, I told you 40 years ago when we got married that I love you, and if I ever change your mind, I'll let you know. Now, God doesn't need us to say it for his ego. It's really more for our good. The fact that he already knows is true, but it's good for us to still acknowledge, thank you, God. Thank you. Even if we know he knows it anyway. But perhaps one of the nine felt like, God already knows. I don't need to tell him. Perhaps one of them said, boy, I got a lot of things to do now that I'm healed. I got to get back to the family. There's a lot to do. I've been out here living with my fellow lepers for this long, and all of a sudden life just got too busy. Lots of things on the to-do list. My thought is, if we're that busy, perhaps we're that busy because we've been blessed. If we've got all these things to be doing, and that's all the more reason to thank God. Perhaps one of them just didn't know why. Might even been a little bitter about it. I've had leprosy for over 20 years. Why now? Where's God been for the last 20 years? He shows up now? Don't get me wrong, I'm glad I'm healed. But we think that bitterness, not sure why it took God so long. Why'd he wait? If he's going to heal me, why couldn't he do that way back in the beginning? Perhaps one of the nine thought that way. Perhaps one of the nine quickly forgot. You ever notice, and maybe you've noticed it in your own life, I've noticed it in my life, and I have to catch myself, when things are going good, we sort of forget that maybe God was the one involved in all that for it going good. What are we doing when it's going bad? Boy, we're on our knees. We're, Lord, what's going on? Lord, I need this. Lord, we're in trouble. And yet the Bible teaches that we're to be going to God all the time. We forget that when things are good, it's still God involved, and we begin to forget about God. And we only cry out, when things go bad. For one of those nine, that could have quickly happened. You know, he got healed and, oh, this is great. And he got to thinking more about the future versus the one who healed him. Maybe one of them just didn't feel like it. You ever been there on something? I just don't feel like it. If we lived our lives only on how we feel, I think sometimes that can just take us straight down a bad place. Most of life, to be honest with ourselves, needs to be done by choice. Feelings is not always a good barometer to make decisions with. I often, as I shared a message with a couple getting married, a lot of times in my message I will share that you might have come here, there might have been some feelings and all that, but really you've come here by choice. And it is the choice that you make to love one another to go forward. Because I warn them, there will be times when you don't feel like you're in love with that person. Oh, that won't ever happen to me. You're going to live the next 30, 40, 50, 60 years. There will be moments in your life that you need to choose to love the one that you promised to love. I know there's moments I'm not all that lovely. See, we can't always base it on how we feel. We need to understand what the right choice is and not do it only by feeling. Perhaps one of the nine was just sorry for himself. We do ourselves a disservice when we get into the comparison game rather than realizing where we're at and what's good for us. And we do it in all too often in too many ways. You know, perhaps one of these nine thought, well, I seem to have it worse than others. I got this life to rebuild. And just feeling sorry for themselves. It's not a good game to get into, this comparison game. Now, that's just some speculation. One of those nine might have had one of those things going on in their lives. For Jesus to ask the question, where are the nine? Didn't I heal 10? And only one comes back to give thanks? How about you this morning? Are you one of the nine? Or are you the one praising and thanking God for who he is? Not only for who he is, but what he's done. Not only for what he's done, but for what he's doing. Not only for what he's doing, but for what he's going to do. I pray that not only in this Thanksgiving week, but really it should be the whole year round. But we're focusing on it this week with Thanksgiving here in the United States. That we have an attitude of gratitude. We see in the last verse of our scripture today, we see a connection with faith and gratitude. It's a reaction to the grace of God. And that reaction to the grace of God needs to be more evident than just for the day we accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, whenever time that was in our past. We can't just say, boy, wasn't that day great? It was great, and I'm thankful for it, and I'm glad for it. But we just don't rest there. We come to the present, and our faith and gratitude is our reaction to what God is doing now, to how he's working in our lives today. Even into the midst of all that's going on around us, we can still have the gratitude and faith in the one who saved us on that day, who lives and abides in us today, and what he's doing for us for eternity. Jesus himself said, I've gone to prepare a place, and he's working on that. But we should have an attitude of gratitude the whole year long, each and every day, especially as we come to this week, as we come to Thursday, and think how things are different this year. One thing is still the same, is we can praise God and loudly thank him for who he is. Thank him for our salvation. Thank him for living with us today. Thank him for the home he's preparing for us in eternity. We can be the one who returned rather than one of the nine who didn't give God a second thought.